Thank you guys for leading us in worship. So as we turn our time now to the teaching of God's word, there's a guy you know very well, probably Ethan. Come on over, Ethan. So Ethan Van Slyke's tonight, and God has been doing some awesome stuff in this dude, and really just excited for him, what God's doing, and he's given him a word. So tonight he wants to teach us some stuff, and what I want to ask you guys to do, teaches us, this thing's going nuts, as he teaches us, is that you'd have open hearts to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Because this dude's got a word we were talking about back there, and he's gonna bring it hard tonight. So I hope you're ready. You're good, bud.
I'm gonna be honest. So when I first got called the opportunity to speak tonight, I honestly didn't really know what I was gonna speak on, and I spent a lot of time in my Bible just like reading, and I spent a lot of time just reading random places I kept flipping, and a certain book of the Bible kept coming up. And it was James, which James has my favorite verse, which is verse 1. Well, it's chapter 3, but yeah, I'll find it. Let's see. My favorite verse is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And it's, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So, as I was reading James, that verse kept popping up, and I was like, "God, what do you want me to share out of this?" And then I got to verse James chapter 4, and it talked about warning against worldliness, and it talked about our prayer life a lot. You know, and sometimes we ask God for things, but it's out of the wrong heart posture. So I'm going to read the verses to you. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us,' but he gives more grace? Therefore it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." So that's a lot of verses, and I'm not going to go like super in-depth of each one, but I kind of wanted to get the main point across of when we ask God for gifts, it should be out of the correct heart posture. So a lot of the time, well, let me first get into this. Who's here ever seen like Charlie Brown? Who's ever seen Charlie Brown? All right. So like half of you probably seen Charlie Brown. See, whenever the adults are talking, they don't like talk. They go, "Mar, mar, 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 mar," and they just kind of mumble. And it's, these verses are kind of talking about how when we pray to God and we ask him with the wrong heart posture, it's that mumbling. It's that mar, mar, mar. That's all it sounds like to him, because we're not seeking after him. So our heart posture should be the correct way. So what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So first one right out of the bat tells us exactly why we fight ourselves and we fight others. It's our passions are at war within you. So the passion of your own desire, which is your flesh, and then you have the passions of the Holy Spirit, which is to do God's glory. And we get the choice of whether or not to choose God or our own desires. And then it says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." So verse 2 talks about how like we get jealous, you know. We desire and we want things, and then God doesn't give it to us, but we see that God's giving it to others, and so we get mad. And we try to quarrel with them, we fight with them, we argue, we gossip about them, we talk badly against them, when in reality we should be looking at our own hearts. "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." Verse 3 talks about how When we ask, we don't ask with the right heart posture. When we ask God for something, we don't ask it out of the bringing the glory of God. We ask for because we want it, you know? So sometimes we ask God, like, hey, God, maybe I want a relationship, you know, God. Hey, can I have a relationship? But what really you should be asking God is, hey, God, teach me how to love like you. A lot of the times we ask God for that type of thing, when in reality we should be asking to become more like him instead of trying to get the things that he has. Because a lot of the times we seek after God's gifts and it's not God. God's gifts are not the same thing as seeking after God's face. So, like, what do I mean by that? Maybe you want all the clout, you know? Maybe you want people to think at school that, you know, you're such a good person, you know, you follow God, and you do all these, you go to all these Bible studies, you go to all these conferences, and you go to all these places, you go to Firehouse, you go to church every Sunday, and you do all these things, but you're not actually seeking after God's face. Instead, you're seeking after glory for yourself. And Jesus even says this, like the Pharisees, they pray in the middle of the streets and they seek after their own glory and they get their own reward. So what this is saying is you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You ask with the wrong heart posture. And when you ask with the wrong heart posture, you can't expect to receive anything. When you ask with the wrong heart, you shouldn't expect God to give it to you. When you ask God for something, it should be to benefit his kingdom and to bring him glory and not yourself. So I'm going to skip down to verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When you ask God for something, are you going to be proud or are you going to be humble? When you ask him for what you want rather than what he wants, would you ask God to do a work in you instead of God to do a work for you? You know, we just need to ask God with the right heart. And we need to wake up from our slumber because we're asleep in this. Sometimes we can just be blabbing out words to God. And that's all it sounds like. We're like, God, give me this, this, this. And it sounds like a shopping list. And God's like, well, you're not even doing any of this for me. So why would I give it to you? So I just really wanted to share that with y'all. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee for you. So it even says, like, if you submit yourself to God, the devil can't even have any power over you whenever you submit yourself to God. So whenever you don't submit yourself to God, the devil does have power. You're giving the devil power over you when you don't submit yourself to God. So you need to have the humble heart posture when you want things from God. You need to have a humble heart posture of God. Whatever it is today that you want me to do, do it all for your will. Not for mine, not for my own benefit, Lord, but do it for your will. I don't want just your gifts, Lord. Those are great, but I just want you. If we sought his face as much as we seek his gifts, we would get his gifts naturally just from seeing his face. Like, if you want to be more holy and you seek after knowing God more, you're just going to become more holy because who you're around is who you become. So, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So this is saying we need to cleanse our own hand. We need to cleanse our hands before God and be humble before God and purify our hearts. We are double. It says you double-minded. And at the end there, it talks about double-minded. So this is saying that we ask God for these things, but we're doing it out of the heart posture of we want it. We want these things instead of I want God's glory. And so that's kind of the main point I want to make is God's glory should be above what we can gain. Like, you look at a lot of people in the Bible, right? Let's just say, like, John the Baptist. His whole purpose for living was literally just to pave a way for Jesus. He lived in the wilderness, he ate locusts and honey, and he lived a life that nobody would really want. But he did it for God's glory because he knew that the gift he had in store was far more valuable than anything he'd get on the earth. And so when we chase after things on the earth, we're not actually receiving God's gifts because God's ultimate gift is eternity with him. So, and then verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So we need to humble ourselves before God and with the heart posture of God, your will be done in everything we do and everything we shouldn't even want anything. We should just want to see his glory and want to do his will. Like when we ask God for like all these physical like things and we just think like we think that that's what God should be giving us because we're doing certain things for him, Like, that's just pride. And God's saying, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So if you want to be exalted, just do God's will and humble yourself before him. Don't do things for your own glory. Like, know that you will have eternity with him. So you don't need to chase after these things on earth, because God's going to give you so much better in eternity. So, yeah. I want to go down to verses 14 and 15, since I have time. It says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, he will live and do this or that. So, James 4, I should probably get some context for this. James 4 is talking about somebody was saying, come now, we'll go tomorrow in such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. So it's talking about these people are saying that they're going to go into this town and they're going to do this business transaction. And they're saying that, oh, we're going to make business off of this. God's saying to them, you do not know what tomorrow will bring, for what is your life? Our life on earth is literally like a mist. It appears there and it's gone like a second. It's like when you get out of the shower, right? There's like a mist there for a little bit because you had a really nice hot shower, but then it goes away as soon as you open the door. So, with God's kingdom, it's like, God's kingdom is so vastly infinite, and we can't even like imagine it here on earth, but we shouldn't be taking our life on earth like it's our life in eternity. Instead, we are ought to say, if the Lord wills, he will live and do this or that. So, instead of saying, my will be done, let it be God's will, because God's will is better than our own will. Like, it's not just because God gives us eternity. It's not just because God's giving us these gifts. It's because his will is better than our will. Like, when you start to listen to God, you will realize that your life becomes, like, dramatically better. Like, we try to do things off, I want to say for myself, like, I try to do things off my own power, and then, like, it's like I'm wrestling with God, like, myself, almost. It's like I'm battling myself. It's like I'm trying to make my life easier, but I'm making it harder than it has to be. But if you also gives you way more peace. Like, if you just do God's will and you listen to him every single day and you say your will be done and you just live to bring glory to him, then it's going to give you peace, because you know that you don't need to do anything except do his will. So, yeah. Let's see what else. I'm going to go to verse 16. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whatever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is sin. I want to end with that. Don't boast in your pride on this earth. Don't boast that you have a tomorrow. Just because you're young doesn't mean you have tomorrow. Like, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised to wake up the next day. Like, it doesn't matter how young you are. And you can make all these plans for your future, and you go to college, you know, make all these plans, like, oh, I go to high school, you know. You can make all these plans, but what does it really amount to? It doesn't amount to anything, honestly. And it even says all such boasting is evil. And it's like we boast in our arrogance for tomorrow. Like, if you were to walk past a graveyard, there's so many, that graveyard is filled with so many people that just didn't start what God's will was because they were scared of their life. So, like, maybe they didn't start that ministry because they were scared God wasn't going to provide. Maybe they didn't pray to that one person. Maybe they didn't encounter that one person. Maybe they didn't go up to that one person because they were scared about getting embarrassed, even though God told them to do it. So I just want to ask you guys, please don't boast in your arrogance. Please just do God's will. Please don't boast that you guys have a tomorrow, because your life is just a mist. Please take it. Please wake up and take this seriously. Like, I think America right now is honestly asleep in the way that we deal with God. And a lot of churches nowadays, like, they want to preach this, oh, God loves you and all this other stuff, but, like, we need to do God's will. It's like, it was never about just God loving us. It was about us bringing glory to him. Like, God didn't save you just for you to go sit on your butt on your couch all the time and, like, not to serve others. Like, we're called to serve others. And it's not like a It's not like the works are going to bring you salvation, of course. It's like your faith in it. But if you don't do works, then your faith is dead. Like, God's going to see you in judgment, and he's going to say, what did you do for me? And you're not going to be able to say anything. And he's going to say, depart from me, for I don't know you. So I just want to end with that. But thank you guys for listening. I'll pray us out. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just do a thing in these kids tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd open their hearts, Lord, and they wouldn't boast about tomorrow, Lord, but that they just do your will every single day, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in everything we say and do, Lord. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.